Hi, hello. Welcome to Mary's Cup of Tea, the self-love podcast for women, though all self-lovers are welcome here. I'm Mary. I write and speak about self-love, and I'm best known for my book, The Gift of Self-Love, and I also host retreats for women. And this is the podcast that will inspire you to love yourself. Real quick, before we dive in, I want to make sure you know about my book, The Gift of Self-Love. It's a workbook to help you build confidence, recognize your worth, and learn to love who you are. It's available anywhere books are sold. Thousands of people have it, love it, and have told me that it has greatly benefited their self-love journey, and I hope it'll do the same for you. And now let's get into the podcast. This relationship tip is something that I learned in couples therapy 3 years ago, right when we first started. It was after we had gotten engaged and we were just navigating so many things related to family and money and how are we going to move forward. Or like Priya Parker, one of my favorite guests on this podcast, where we talked about intentional wedding planning, she said, weddings or the planning of a wedding answer this big question of how now shall we live? And in answering that question of how now shall we live, we needed a little bit support. So we found this amazing couples therapist who changed us in so many ways, even though we don't see him that often, maybe a handful of times per year. The teachings and just knowing that he is there for us when we need him, having his presence kind of be in our auras as we go about our relational activities, it just really helps us show up better. So I cannot recommend it enough. But this one thing my couples therapist said to me still rings in my mind. Every time I have a bit of tension with someone, it can be with my husband or maybe a family member, a friend, literally anyone. If you're mid-argument or fight, this also helps so much. And I realized how powerful it was when a few months back, I shared it with my little sister, who, if you've listened to the past two episodes that I did with her, episode 257 and 258, she is such a bright light, so emotionally intelligent, incredibly patient and understanding. So sometimes we have that, you know, usual sibling bond where we speak to each other in ways that we wouldn't speak to other people, joking around or like just being fully ourselves, which of course can sometimes cross a boundary and make each other feel some type of way. And then we have to repair that. I mean, I think anybody who has a sibling just knows that you're just different with your sibling. You just give no shits with them. And sometimes it's important to kind of pull back and give some shits about them and employ the same type of relational tools that you would with, say, a lover or a friend that you're just getting to know. And so as Alana grows up into an older adolescent and she's in her last year of high school, I'm also, you know, in my later 20s, we've really had to figure out how to communicate with each other as adults, as opposed to, you know, me being the older sister, 10 years older, kind of almost maybe parenting her, and then her, you know, kind of defaulting back into the funny sister who's always just like goofy and whatever about everything. So it's been an incredible growing journey in our relationship. And I think you can really get a sense of our dynamic in the last two episodes that we did together. In episode 257, we recapped our France trip, talked all about the highs and lows of that. And in episode 258, my sister shares her wisdom with everybody about what it's like being a teenager, confidence advice that has helped her, and just overall, I learn so much from her entire life, but especially now as she's so articulate. Anyway, I realized that this relationship tip that I'm about to share with you was so powerful when it actually landed and shifted things with my sister and I. And mind you, she's 17. So I think it's simple enough that anyone can kind of understand it, although you do need a bit of emotional intelligence to actually apply it. And my sister has that. I am so deeply lucky that she was able to hear this little bit of advice, and we were able to apply it in such a way that really healed this fight that we were having within minutes, like literally within minutes. It just shifted the way we started talking to each other. We were able to like hash things out, really see and understand where one another was coming from, and then end up on the other side where we went to France for 2 weeks, had this amazing time, just were really on the same wavelength in terms of communication and how we approach each other. With that being said, though, not everybody is like that. Not everybody is open-minded and aware, which brings me to the disclaimer. This advice, I think, only works on securely attached, emotionally intelligent people. I'm not qualified to speak on abusive relationships or dealings with narcissists, but I think this is one of those tips, I suppose, that can be taken to an extreme and misused. And if you're in that situation where you're dealing with somebody, maybe arguing, fighting, not seeing eye to eye, and the other person is deliberately trying to make things worse. So I think there's two types of fights you can have, right? There's the fight where you're like, oh, I just love you so much, but you're freaking annoying me right now and you're not getting it, you're not understanding, and I actually want this to be better. I'm just really angry right now, mostly hurt, right? And then there's the type of fight, and generally there's maybe a toxic dynamic involved where things are progressively getting worse and worse and worse, and the fight is only making the relationship that much more damaged. In which case, I think it's safe to say that you should stop talking to each other, take space, take a break, get support. Big proponent of couples therapy, and just really evaluate the relationship. One thing that I tell retreat sisters at the end of our time together, so when somebody comes to a retreat, we spend this beautiful week together, and it is such a heightened emotional experience that can literally be life-changing. Like, people have described it in that way, and I'm so honored and humbled by that. And it is that way for me. Like, every single retreat is life-changing in its own way because these humans just open up something in you. And so when we go through that journey together, there's always this very shaky ground and scary question of like, how do I go back home and live daily life after having such a profound experience? And a lot of times people can't wait to get home and talk about it. They're like, I cannot wait to tell my boyfriend about everything that just happened. And I am, again, deeply honored, grateful, and love that. And one of the little closing workshops that I give, or a ending pep talk, so to speak, is I tell people, do not explain yourself to people who are committed to misunderstanding you. This happens sometimes, that some things are meant to be sacred and some parts of you are meant to be just yours, or perhaps shared with one specific person or a certain group of people that you know are there to really see you, to really get it. You know what I mean? But going to somebody who is not in the place to receive that, or who's like, oh, cool, like you had like a cute little vacation, but you're like, it wasn't a cute little vacation. It was a self-love retreat that altered my brain chemistry and changed me on a visceral level. And I can't even express the love that I felt for these people that I just met. And we're going to be best friends. And oh my gosh, can so-and-so and so-and-so come over and stay with us? We're going to plan another retreat reunion. And when you're coming with that energy and you're so excited and you want to share that with someone, which is the context that I tell people, do not explain yourself to those who are committed to misunderstanding you. It just leads me into this idea of like, some things are yours, some things are sacred. This is something I've been learning with my partnership and with my sister, with my mom, family in general. Like, not a single person can be everything for you. There's not a single person out there, as much as like my significant other is my best friend or my best friend, like I literally share everything with her. There might come a time where that isn't completely true, where something you say doesn't completely land, where you're just not understood no matter how hard you try to be. And that's an exhausting dance. So for the sake of you, Please know that you deserve to be with someone who is willing to take the step forward to meet you halfway, to express openness and curiosity the same way that you would approach them. And if somebody isn't meeting you with that, then maybe read the room and maybe this isn't going to work. Like, no relationship tip will help salvage a dynamic that's already been damaged or that just isn't at that mutual wavelength, so to speak. And again, couples therapy could help with that. But if you are someone who's in a healthy, loving relationship, but you're always looking to grow in that area, maybe you love communication, you love self-awareness, relational self-awareness. Sometimes I call it relational self-love. Like, how do we show up as our best selves with someone else with that open heart? Because our cup is so full and we feel so secure that we're not looking or leaning on something or someone else to kind of like fill that, to really prove our worth. Do you know what I mean? We're really coming with an open, abundant, full, expansive place and letting that overflow. And I think that just makes everything so much better. So I will get to my point here and share that number one relationship tip that I learned in couples therapy, which applies to marriage, family, friendships, and beyond. But first, I wanted to read a positive review. And ironically enough, what this reviewer wrote kind of relates to what we're about to talk about. So she said, "Mary, I have followed you on Instagram for many years, and you are literally the age of my children, but you are very wise and self-aware at your young age, and you can teach an old dog, me, new tricks, especially about self-love. Please keep doing what you're doing. You're good at it, and we love watching you get better and better every year. I just started your podcast, and it's great to hear you talk the talk. I know at times you're lost, as we all are, but you have a gift with words. That is one of the highest compliments that I could receive, and thank you, thank you, thank you so much." Hey, self-lover, sorry to interrupt, but do you have my self-love playlist? There's over 300, if not 400 songs on it that are so fun and uplifting and empowering, and I think will really be perfect for when you're getting ready, trying to hype yourself up, dealing with a bad body image day, or anytime you just want a little boost of self-love, these tracks will do it for you. So head to maryscupoftea.com/playlist to get it and know that I am dancing and jamming with you from afar. Cheers. Here's why I say that it relates to what we're going to talk about. This idea of like a gift with words. One thing about me is that I am a heady, wordy person. I rely on words to help me understand and be understood. But sometimes, and I've learned this in many capacities. One of them is like at retreats, you know, how do I describe my weird job to people? Well, I can't, because sometimes words are not enough. I want to take a dramatic sip of tea here because I don't know if this is a big idea for you, but it's a big idea for me. I consider myself this rational person who can explain anything that I want to with enough words or, you know, some kind of eloquent syntax, sentence structure that will eventually make someone listen and hear me and change their minds and get it, right? And the toxic expression of that, although I love hearing that I'm good with words, the toxic expression of that is sometimes this self-righteousness, this way that I kind of can get when I'm upset, where I talk down to somebody, or I'm a little condescending, or I'm like, why don't you get it? I have spelled it out for you. So that's me sometimes. And there was one time when I was sitting in couples therapy, trying to prove to my therapist about how or why my husband misunderstood me because I actually said this and not that, and he misheard me or whatever because it's just not clicking in his brain, but this is word for word what I said. How does this not make sense in your mind? And then Michael, our sweet, sweet therapist who is so good at gently calling us out or perhaps calling us in, he goes, "Mary, it doesn't matter what you said. It matters what he heard. It doesn't matter what you said. It matters what he heard." And then he turned to my husband or my fiance at the time, and he asks, what did you hear from Mary in that moment? And Mary, what are you hearing Stan say right now? And I know this might be kind of an old idea packaged in a new way, and I hope that it is that. I hope that you have heard this before, this idea that it's not necessarily what someone says or even like how they say it. I think a lot of people like to reference that Maya Angelou quote where she was like, it's not about what someone says or does, it's how they make you feel. And I love that. And I completely, completely agree with that. But I think the next level of heightened emotional, relational awareness is, wait a second, let's pause. What did you just hear me say? And what I'm hearing you say is this. Right now, I'm receiving what you're telling me as this idea. Is that accurate? And I also am being reminded as I'm talking about nonviolent communication, it's this book that is very confronting. I did an entire podcast episode reviewing it and talking about my biggest takeaways. I had recorded it maybe like 2 years ago, so it's an old one, but if you're interested, I'll link it for you in the description. You're going to love, love, love this book. But if you're not a big reader, definitely listen to the podcast episode where I share the biggest takeaways of nonviolent communication. And one of those takeaways is when you're trying to communicate with somebody nonviolently, which simply means gently. I mean, there's a lot more to nonviolent communication, which you can learn about in the podcast episode or by reading the book. But essentially, one of the strategies in that book is almost, I know they always tell you, like, don't make an assumption, but here you kind of have to make an assumption. Like, what I'm hearing you say is that you're feeling really annoyed when I was driving a bit over the speed limit and that made you feel anxious. Is that correct? And the author of Nonviolent Communication says that that last part, is that correct? Am I hearing you correct? Is very important because it gives the other person a chance to correct you or maybe say, yeah, that's exactly how I felt. And then you can move from there because then you're speaking the same language. You're talking about the same thing. You're looking at the problem. And this is another big, big, big teaching from a relationship therapist that I've recently got hooked on. Oh my goodness, his stuff is life-changing. Again, a little confronting, and I suppose his approach is very blunt and direct, but I appreciate that. He says that where we go wrong, or who's he? Let me tell you, great question. The relationship therapist's name is Terry Real. He wrote a few books about marriage and relationships. He says that in order to heal and be healthy in a relationship, you have to make the objective subjective. So instead of fighting about the facts, this is what I said, this is how it actually was, let me break it down for you, because the facts don't really matter. This is the little point where I emphasize the disclaimer, because again, it can be taken to an extreme where you're kind of like self-gaslighting or always being the one to take emotional responsibility and always being the one to like show up and twist yourself and bend over backwards to try to understand somebody else when they're not doing that same for you. So don't do that. Please use discernment. Again, this is advice for healthy, stable, relatively securely attached partnerships. So the idea is to make the objective subjective. So instead of talking about the facts, you talk about your experience because it moves out of objective, like who's the authority, who's right, who's wrong, who's the judge, what's fair, what's unfair. And suddenly it becomes relational. We're a team. You love me as a favor to me. Could you? And then it's like, oh, sure. Yeah. Like, of course. How do you even argue with that? Right. There's one line too in this podcast that I listened to with him where he says, even if you had an audiologist sitting with you in that car, recording it so that you can play back and prove what you said or how you said it, it's still not going to be sufficient enough to navigate a relationship and not fight and actually like heal, repair, and move forward. What matters is how are you and I going to work on this thing in a way that's going to work for us? So my summary of that, or the one small thing that I say to myself in the midst of many relationship dynamics, whether it's with my sister, husband, mom, my non-existent dad, who I talk to in my head sometimes. But I do remind myself, like, it doesn't matter what exactly I said. It really matters what they heard, especially if I care about fixing this and I care about moving forward with better mutual understanding, then let's get to the bottom of what did each other hear from one another? What did we actually receive? So some scripts that you can take from this in case it's helpful, you can ask someone after you've just expressed your feelings, before they move on to express theirs, you ask them, what did you just hear me say? Like, make sure you are heard, okay? This isn't just all about hearing them. You can also phrase it in such a way that you make sure that they can really paraphrase and it really lands with them what you just said. It doesn't have to be the perfect words, but the idea. Actually, the most beautiful moments are when someone actually phrases it in a different way that lands even more. And you have that moment in your relationship where you're like, wow, you really know me. I've been blaming you for not understanding me or understanding why I'm mad, but actually, like, you really do know me. It just took a little bit of prompting. That's honestly how I felt with my sister when we had this heated discussion a couple months ago, and it wasn't getting us anywhere. So I slowed us down. I told her about this thing I learned in therapy. She was super receptive to it, way more so than any 17-year-old I'd ever expect to be. But she was like, okay, so what I just heard you say is that you're really hurt because I, and her just saying that, like, oh my God, that alone is enough to just point blank, done, end, you get me. It doesn't even matter how it all unfolded. Like, I just appreciate that you understand, even if you disagree. Do you know what I mean? Even if that's not your side of the story or that's not how you meant it, it feels so good to just be seen and mirrored back like that. So you can ask the other person, what did you just hear me say? It's also, I think, really important mid-argument to be like, okay, what I'm hearing you say is, and maybe if you've listened to enough podcast interviews, I use this technique in interviewing also. I think it really helps kind of summarize main points, but also it does that nonviolent communication idea where if I miss something, if there's a little crucial detail, a little critical moment, a feeling that I didn't quite evoke with my paraphrasing, then the guest that I'm interviewing or the other person that you're talking to, they can come in and be like, yeah, and don't forget about this. Oh, also, you know, I said this, right? So they can correct you. And I think that opportunity for correction actually serves both people. So anyway, I don't want to belabor this. I really wanted this to be a short episode where the main idea, the one relationship tip that has been serving me over the past 3 years can really help you also, that in communication, it doesn't so much matter what you said, it matters what they heard. And on the flip side, it doesn't matter what they said. You're also a human being who's projecting what you want to hear. So make sure that you are at this level where you're fighting about the same thing. At the very least, start there. And I think that's just going to help both of you feel so much better, even if you disagree, which is also okay, I think, in healthy relationships. Okay, I got to go. Love ya. Hope this helped. Can't wait to hear if and how you were able to apply this. Feel free to let me know. In the form of a podcast review would be the most helpful so that other people get introduced to the show as well if you like and recommend it. And if it's something a little more personal, feel free to send me a DM on Instagram. Okay, I'll talk to you in the next episode. Mwah, mwah. If you're enjoying our self-love podcast, please take a moment to leave a comment or a review letting me know what your biggest takeaway was. As somebody who works mostly behind the scenes on this podcast, I love hearing from you, and it just keeps me connected to the purpose, which is always to spread the gift of self-love.